Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number 3, our third and final live right here on a Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. So much to get to here in this third and final hour. We've got a doubleheader of October baseball in the American League. Both division series. We'll see a game 2 first in Cleveland, where the Guardians are a home dog against Tarek Skubal and the Tigers. And the Yankees look to cement a spot almost in the American League Championship Series if they can take a commanding 2-0 lead against the Kansas City Royals. Speaking of KC, the Chiefs in action in KC Mo tonight on Monday Night Football, hosting the New Orleans Saints. DRS, a lot to get to here in our third hour. The prop perspective with Tom Vecchio. The injury insight with Dr. David Chow. Again, a lot to get to.
Yeah, a lot to get to here. Usually you're a lot to get to, which means I'm supposed to step in. But he decided to take the extra long monologue. It's Monday. We're fired up, man. We do got to get to. Let's get to it. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, we certainly will, DRS. You know, we are keeping track of all of our Fade the Public polls throughout this year when there has been a question about a best bet, whether it's a money line best bet for a doubleheader on Monday Night Football or just for an individual game. The last time we asked the public, hey, what's the best bet? Thursday Night Football, the Bucs as a slight underdog in Atlanta. The public went with Tampa. Of course, the game goes to overtime. The Falcons win by 6 and cover. So the public now 3-4 in their best bets. Can they bounce back tonight in Kansas City? What's the best bet for Monday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Saints? You tell us and Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, DRS, what is that best bet for MNF? Is it the Chiefs laying 5.5 at home? New Orleans as the road underdog getting 5.5. Over 43.5 under the total. Can't really fault the public for looking at New Orleans. Not only 2-0 against the spread as an underdog so far this season, but we have detailed it many times. Underdogs of 5.5 points or greater, it has been their year in the National Football League. So more than 43% saying the Saints getting 5.5. That's the way to look tonight.
Yeah, Saints probably better on the offensive line, probably better at wide receiver, probably better at running back, maybe even better overall as a defense. But the one thing they don't have is Patrick Mahomes. But I do agree with the public. The public coming in here, Saints plus 5.5 with 43% of the vote. That's the way I went here. I just think we're in that no man's land of spreads where, yes, the Kansas City Chiefs probably should win this football game, but also the Chiefs' MO to not really be able to pull away because I don't think they have enough explosive plays. The only way tonight, Ben, for me, that keeps you from a Saints cover is if you're screaming at your TV going, come on, Derek Carr, you can't throw that pass. As long as he gives you a decent performance, you're going to be in it all the way through. And yes, maybe the Chiefs have the ball last in a tie game, and sure, they'll probably be able to get down the field because that's what Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid do. Yeah. I'm taking the 5.5. I'm agreeing with the public today on that.
Again, New Orleans 2-0 against the number as an underdog this year. 5.5 point dogs or greater in 2024 throughout the Week 5 Sunday slate. 19-4-1 against the spread. 13 of those 19 covers an outright victory, including both of the 5.5 point dogs or greater so far in week number 5. The Cardinals winning outright, getting 7.5 points in Santa Clara against the 49ers. The Giants winning outright, getting 6.5 points in the Northwest against the Seahawks yesterday. The Saints have already factored in to that 5.5 point dog or greater equation this year. They were getting 6.5 in Dallas week number 2. They hammered the Cowboys, winning that football game 44-19. The Chiefs, DRS, off to a perfect 4-0 start. And they've been booked as a favorite in all four. They have covered in three of those four games. I'm fascinated by the total. New Orleans over in three of four. KC well under in its last two, having scored less than 40 combined points in the last 2 weeks. DRS, these were two heavily skewed under teams a year ago. New Orleans, 11-17 games in the regular season. KC, 14-21 on their way to winning a second consecutive Super Bowl. If you think the Saints do cover as a 5.5-point dog tonight, is it because both offenses are going back and forth? Is it an uglier game that stays under 43.5?
Yeah, here's what you're going to have to look at, right? And sometimes it's just, hey, is Taysom Hill going to play for the Saints? Because if he does, that offense is unstoppable. If he can't go with that rib injury, then maybe they're not. But also, back and forth here, the Saints can score with you. Hear me out what I'm trying to say. But I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs MO anymore, the Tyreek Hill years, like, hey, man, you go into Kansas City, Ben, you better not punt the football, which means on every fourth and short, you have to go because you know Kansas City is going to press you on that next drive. So I look at that 43.5 and say to myself, I think this stays under the total because I don't think the game situations will dictate a lot of big plays both ways. I love Steve Spagnuolo as the defensive coordinator. Maybe the defense right now is the MVP of the Kansas City Chiefs, even though you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid on offense. But you need players to make those explosive plays happen. And if we do know from a New Orleans Saints defense that, again, Travis Kelce is going to be your main product there on offense, take him away and say, make a rookie wide receiver beat me up and down the field, and Kareem Hunt trying to resurrect his career, those weapons aren't there. Yeah. So we're not saying that they can't get to, let's just say, 45 or 50 points. I don't think the game MO starts off as, let's just throw it all over the place and see what happens. I think measured approaches from both sides with quality defenses bring the score a little bit lower. Weather's not going to be a factor tonight, though. That's 65 degrees at kickoff, light winds here, no precipitation. So we'll get a pretty clean night in Arrowhead, which usually would mean fireworks on the field. I don't think we get there tonight. This is a big game for both sides. The Saints can't afford to drop below 500. And if you are Kansas City, you want to make sure you stay with that pristine record, which again equates to me in a close game, which I'll take the Saints. But if we're just looking at that total perspective here, Ben, I'm not really excited to take the over tonight in prime time.
The public looking at the over, more of the votes on that than the under, or even KC covering as a 5.5-point favorite. In DRS, it makes sense. New Orleans over in three of four. They were the best offense in the NFL through the opening 2 weeks of the year. They even went over in a game last week that featured 50 total points, and Atlanta did not score an offensive touchdown. The Chiefs, again, under in its last two. As we saw last year, the offense wasn't great, was good enough in the playoffs for Kansas City. Good enough, all relative. When you win a Super Bowl, everything is good. The defense, though, was great under Steve Spagnuolo. When we look at the quarterbacks as we compare them tonight, Derek Carr, sensational in the opening 2 weeks of this season. He has been over his passing yards prop twice, never more than 250. Donnie, 5 touchdowns to only a single INT in weeks 1 and 2. 1 touchdown to 2 interceptions in the last 2 weeks, 2 losses for the Saints. Patrick Mahomes, by his own standards, has not been great this year. By his own admission, he needs to be better. An interception in all 4 games, 6 touchdowns to 5 INTs this year. He has gone over 230.5 in both week 1 and week 4, but it hasn't been MVP Mahomes to start this year for KC.
No, it hasn't. And maybe we'll get back to that form, but I don't know how much of that form is going to be like, hey, let me throw 50 touchdowns in a season. That's not going to be there. The one thing we always know is Andy Reid is a wonderful offensive coordinator and scheming players open, but usually he's scheming very good players to get open. We might still think Travis Kelce is very good, but outside of last week, it looks like he's on his last legs in the NFL. And again, Xavier Worthy was a quality pick at wide receiver, saying, wow, the rich only get richer. Yeah, because he was supposed to be with Marquise Brown and also a healthy Rashee Rice and also a healthy Travis Kelce out there, which now looks like you're only getting really one of those players that you anticipated, and it turns out to be a rookie. Those are the issues, which means it's much more on Patrick Mahomes to make that perfect play, that perfect throw at the right time, which we know he can do, but there's not many bailout plays like, oh my goodness, it's 3rd and 8. Travis Kelce is wide open every single play. We haven't seen that this year yet.
7 grabs for 89 yards last week for Travis Kelce. There was a lot of conversation in the opening 3 weeks, despite the wins for KC. Did Travis Kelce still have it? He only had 7 grabs for 69 yards in 3 games. He equaled the receptions and had more yardage last week in week 4. Plenty more later. Pro Football Talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Every Monday, we give you the injury analysis and insight with the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow. And one of the great reasons, Doc, that you got to go to SixScore.com. That's SICScore.com. And the great work that Dr. Chow and his team are doing at Sports Injury Central to know the health perspective, to have the field view of how positions of the entire roster looks entering a game, you really find those advantages. Doc, the SIC picks, the six picks yesterday for week number 5 were pretty good, huh?
Amazing. 15-2 yesterday, counting props, totals, and sides, a little bit of in-game. And boy, leading into the week, it made me so nervous. Everyone who knows me knows I don't love rookie quarterbacks. Yet the numbers said to take 3 rookie quarterback favorites. We're like, well, okay, trust the process. And they all were double digit winners in the end. But it was like, going into the week, I was shaking my head saying, are we really going to do this? But that's what the algorithm says. I don't think it. We just put in the numbers and the health and let it play out.
All of the components that you need for each and every game, each and every week in the National Football League. But, Doc, of course, there's always the injuries after a Sunday slate comes to a close. The Texans did win over the Buffalo Bills in a huge game in H-Town, courtesy of a 59-yard game-winning field goal from Kyahmi Fairbairn. And despite the fact that he remains the leading receiver in the NFL, Nico Collins did exit early for Houston with a hamstring injury. Hamstrings, Doc, always a very tricky thing to diagnose what exactly the timetable looks like for a player. What's the prognosis, in your estimation, for Nico Collins getting back on the field?
Well, you heard it on the 62-yard touchdown early, and it's a re-aggravation of a pre-existing hamstring, which doesn't bode well for him to play this week. So he's their top wide receiver. Obviously, Joe Mixon has been out. Maybe he can finally come back. But the only good news for the Texans is besides being 4-1, they get the Patriots next week.
Doc, let's double up over in London from yesterday. Aaron Jones, running back from Minnesota, had some success early, left that game in the first half, didn't return with a hip. And also, from a Jets perspective, we bugged you all last year about the Achilles of Aaron Rodgers. Now we're dealing with a new ailment here moving forward.
Yeah, well, I guarantee you this, Aaron Jones will not play next week. That's because they have a bye. That's the only reason, okay? we think more proximal hamstring. Think he's got a shot to play next week. And obviously the Vikings are a different team without him. He's got a shot to play next week by in the next game, the following week. They have a bye. Aaron Rodgers' injury, it looked almost more like knee than ankle. Robert Saleh just said it's a low ankle sprain. It's interesting now how coaches even say low versus high, right? It's so in our vocabulary now. It's very interesting. It is the same side as the Achilles, but unrelated. It's just football. He's sore. It's a Monday night game. It's his lead leg. Aaron Rodgers at 40 isn't running around as much anymore. I think minimal effect on him.
Needs to worry about the arm more than the leg. 3 interceptions yesterday cost the Jets over in London. Dr. Chow, the injury woes continue for Miami. Devon Achane left the game in the opening half with a concussion, did not return. Javon Holland on the defensive side of the football, an injury as well. They lost Jalen Phillips last week, but the Dolphins do come out with a victory yesterday in Foxborough. And earlier in the week, Doc, we got reports that Tua Tagovailoa is symptom-free as he is on the injured reserve from his 3rd diagnosed concussion in the last 2-plus years. What is the timetable, in your estimation, for Tua Tagovailoa returning to action?
Ben, you make a good point. Symptom-free is the key thing as opposed to how he postured after the concussion. And it's been clear he's been symptom-free for a while because he's been around the team. Last week, he traveled to Seattle, and now he's traveling to neuroconsults. Indicates he's returning. But he certainly is not returning next week because guess what? Once again, the Dolphins have a bye. He certainly is not returning the week after that because the rules are you miss 4 games, not 4 weeks. So the bye doesn't even count in that. So he's got one more game out in week the next week and then can return. And look, if the Dolphins can, you know, stay in it, and this win was big to stay in it, it's going to be a big injection of to their team to have Tua back. And it seems clear that he is headed to return. He wants to. He's symptom-free. Of course, you have to go through several different neuros and get a unanimous opinion that he's able to return. But the NFL has already said they're not going to meddle in this in any way, shape, or form. They're going to let Tua make his decision and let, you know, the doctors speak what they're going to do. And there's not going to be anything coming from 345 Park Avenue. No additional hurdles or no changes to the rules or no advice from them.
Doc, Monday Night Football, the New Orleans Saints and the Kansas City Chiefs. We head over to sixscore.com and check out some of the field views. I'm looking at New Orleans offensive line, center, offensive guard, and offensive tackle on the right side, looking a little bit banged up. And also, any looks tonight for Taysom Hill and that rib injury, if he could be able to play tonight?
Don't think Taysom Hill is going to make it, only because it's reported to be multiple rib fractures. A single rib fracture, you can inject and play through. It's more pain tolerance. Multiple, you start worrying about another hit and internal organ damage. So lean towards no for Taysom Hill. And, of course, offensive line issues that you signaled. And everyone knows about the offensive issues for the Chiefs with Pacheco out with the broken ankle and Hollywood Brown. And now Rashee Rice undergoing a knee scope first. And we still think it's posterolateral corner. Long absence, but some hope to return.
It will be really interesting to see how the Chiefs yet again overcome the injuries on the offensive side of the football. Travis Kelce, the highest receiving yards prop. Xavier Worthy, the speedster and the rookie out of Texas, expected to see his production take a spike offensively for the Chiefs. Dr. Chow, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you for the great work, and make sure to check out sixscore.com. That's how you get those winning picks. Dr. Chow, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We also talk some October baseball on the other side of the break. The two game twos and the ALDSs up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We saw the doubleheader of game twos in the NLDS yesterday. The Phillies walk it off at home against the Mets. They even up the set behind 6 home runs in a feisty environment in Los Angeles. The Padres score 10 and even the National League Division Series against the Dodgers at a game apiece. Tonight, 2 games in the American League Division Series. First in Cleveland, first pitch a little bit after 4 p.m. Eastern time. The Guardians, a strong game one, a strong opening inning of the opening game of the ALDS. They lead 1-0. But the Tigers are a road favorite. Why? The presumed and guy who is going to win the American League Cy Young Award, Tarek Skubal, is on the bump for Detroit. The Tigers, DRS, a minus 130 road favorite in the land. Will Detroit even up the ALDS when the night is through?
They should, but if we're looking at all four pitchers tonight that are due to start, there's really no area that you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to fade this, because the ERA's been over the past 60 days, 1.94, 2.58, 2.92, 2.72. So it's not as if we're going into this saying, like, you know what, there's unbelievable mismatches on the mound, which theoretically you probably should have on a night-to-night basis when Skubal's out there. Hear me out on this. He's been fantastic. I do give the upper hand to Detroit, but let's go over this game. The Cleveland Guard is going to show up. They have a formidable, you know, lineup here. Against left-handed pitching, to be honest, the first 6 guys in that lineup over the past 30 days. Look at the weighted on base percentages: 446, 494, 363, 401, 565, and 328 against left-handed pitching. But this isn't tomato can left-handed pitching. Let's just go through the end of the season and we're going to wait for the playoffs. Yeah. This is Tarik Skubal, the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. He should be able to hold down the fort. Now you flip it over to the other side and say, well, Matthew Boyd's not that great a pitcher, but I just told you, a 2.72 ERA. His xFIP is 3.89, which typically during the regular season, I'm like, hey, let's move on. Let's not fade that guy because it's not high enough. You like that danger zone, 4.5 or higher in the xFIP. So he's quality. Now, if you say, all right, the Tigers should have a decided advantage in this game on the mound, somewhat I agree with you, but let's take a look at the hitters in the lineup for the Detroit Tigers and what they've done against left-handed pitching over the past month. Boyd, he has actually struggled with right-handed batters and left-handed batters. 3.78 and 3.78, actually an equal weighted on base percentage on both sides. Now, granted, it's only 58 batters, and the majority of those batters from the right-handed side, 52 of the 58. So let's erase the left-handed batters and just focus on the right-handed batters, which will be the majority of the lineup tonight. But if we look in totality, Ben, and say, well, how have they actually done as a team against lefties? Let's go over that ISO power number, which you want around 165 or higher. Veerling, 074. Henry Molloy, 0. Abanez, 100. Perez, 045. Torkelson, 053. Meadows, 138. Rogers, 0. Sweeney, 042. The only positive there is left-handed batter Riley Green at a 242. Everybody else is below. So theoretically, you see that 6 and like, I got to take the over. I don't know if we get 7 runs tonight, to be honest. So I'm going to take the under in this ball game, which, by the way, Detroit didn't even score in game number one. We'll see if they can get off the map. And I don't expect 7 runs in a Skubal start going up against Detroit tonight. So 6, wild number. I'm still going under.
6, a flat 6, not even 6 and a
Unbelievable.
Hook. 6. That is the number. Tarik Skubal, sensational in his opening start last week in Houston. Can he continue that today in Cleveland? Now let's go to the Bronx. The Yankees, they came back to win in game number one. The Royals did not make it easy, but Alex Verdugo delivering for the Pinstripes. So the Yanks, a home favorite, minus 152 against Cole Reagans and the Royals. Reagans outdueled Corbin Burns a week ago in Baltimore. DRS, will Casey even the set? Will New York take a commanding 2-0 series lead back to Kauffman Field?
Going to have to take a little bit of a leap of faith here on the Royals. I'm going to tell you why. But before we get there, Reagans, last 60 days, 52 and a third innings pitched here. You take a look at Rodon, 49 and a third innings pitched. Very similar ERAs, 2.58 here for Reagans, 2.92 for Carlos Rodon. XFIP numbers, similar also. So what's going to give here in the rotation? Carlos Rodon's a left-handed pitcher, Ben. Last 95 batters he's faced in totality, 77 of those have been right-handed batters. Check this out. A 250 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 357. So then you perk up and say the only lefty in this lineup is probably going to be the Pasquatch, Vinny Pasquantino. But if we remove him from the equation, which he hasn't actually had too many at-bats against left-handed pitching because he was injured, the rest of that lineup outside of Hunter Renfroe, 0-0-0-0-0-0-0. That's the ISO power numbers against left-handed pitching for the Royals over the past month. Come on now. So the leap of faith is Rodon's going to get hit because he can't get out right-handed batters, but the Royals' right-handed batters can't hit left-handed pitching. Go Royals.
ISO power number. Take a shot. The prop perspective on this Monday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On a day like today in early October, it's where the jack of all trades comes through in a big spot. It's Sports Grid's Tom Vecchio here with the prop perspective on this Monday on the early line. Monday Night Football in Kansas City. It's the Chiefs and the Saints in a doubleheader of American League Division Series action in playoff baseball. In New York, it's the Yankees and another team from KC and the Royals, and it starts a little bit after 4 p.m. Eastern time in Cleveland, the Guardians and the Tigers. Vecchio, we appreciate your perspective on everything here on this Monday.
Yeah, I am ready to roll. Super interesting game tonight. What will the Chiefs offense look like without Rice? Who's going to step up? A couple baseball games to get to. NHL opening night tomorrow, or I should say mid-afternoon. Let's get to it.
But I thought, didn't they started in Prague. over the weekend.
We did, but the rest of the season starts tomorrow.
Ah, that sounds like a great, great scheduling job by the National Hockey League. All right, Vecchio, let's talk about Monday Night Football. 5.5-point spread in favor of the Chiefs at home in KC inside Arrowhead. Total 43.5. We always start with what the numbers of the expected outcome is going to be and how it informs our game handicap. So what are the numbers telling you about Monday night to end out week number 5?
A lot of questions about the offense overall. We know KC is a difficult place to play overall. The Saints got off to this flying start the first 2 weeks, kind of came crashing back down to earth over the last two. Kansas City, they've looked okay this year. Like, Mahomes isn't putting up, like, amazingly flashy numbers, and now their offense is at the weakest it's been really at any point over the past 2 years. So, you know, to me, this is looking like a bit of a grinded out game for both of these teams. I think the defenses should step up. I do think that there can be some strong takeaways from the Kansas City offense of what we are going to see from them moving forward. We did see a big game from Travis Kelce in their most recent outing, but who is going to be that number two option behind him? Is it going to be Xavier Worthy, a player that I've spoken about, you know, since opening night a couple weeks ago on that Thursday? I've been very high on him, but I also have my eye on another wide receiver, which we'll certainly get to. So I think this game has a lot to take away from in terms of projecting forward for especially the Kansas City offense.
Yeah, that's always a tough part, Tom, too, right? Because you get the new players. Is Kareem Hunt going to be that bell cow? Can you scheme Kelce open? And who is going to step up at that wide receiver position? But let's focus on the quarterbacks here. Patrick Mahomes and Derek Carr on the FanDuel Sportsbook today as it sits right now. The over 230.5 for Patrick Mahomes passing yards. Derek Carr at 211.5. And the touchdown price is very advantageous here if they're going to throw a few. Patrick Mahomes over 1.5 plus 100. You don't see that often. And Derek Carr to throw two touchdown passes, that's a plus 205. From the quarterback position, Tom, what's the expectations tonight?
The expectations are pretty modest. We've seen Carr struggle at playing at Kansas City throughout his career, obviously, when he was with the Raiders. I don't like buying into trends too much, but these numbers are pretty modest, like you said, and we rarely get plus money on a Mahomes touchdown prop. And I think that gives us a very modest offensive expectation overall of what we should be seeing. So I'm not expecting this game to fly over. I think we could be in for a 24-20 kind of victory. I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs kind of, you know, eke it out at the end as they tend to do. They don't end up covering. They come away with the win. I'm not going to say a sloppy game, but I'm going to say temper your expectations for tonight is the best way to put it.
KC, a favorite in all four games, of course, not only 4-0 straight up, but 3-1 against the spread. New Orleans, perfect 2-0 ATS as an underdog so far this season. So, Vecchio, let's talk now from the quarterbacks to the backs. Alvin Kamara has been great this year for New Orleans. At least 105 scrimmage yards in all four games, 6 total touchdowns for the Saints. We thought it might be Carson Steele, maybe Samaje Perine. Now it's Kareem Hunt back with his former team and performing very well. KC's leading rusher, 69 yards on the ground a week ago. What do you expect out of the offensive output for both AK and Kareem Hunt tonight?
I expect it to be big on both sides. You know, coming into this game, I'm thinking, do the Saints want to turn this game into a bit of a shootout? Do they trust Carr to sling the ball 35 times going up against the Chiefs defense, especially the secondary, which I'm very high on. I think they obviously bring good pressure. Again, a place that he has struggled. So I'm turning to Kamara as a very, very solid option. I think Hunt is that key option for the Chiefs offense. Again, as you said, 69 yards last week on 14 carries, 45% of the snaps ahead of Carson Steele is at 40%. This is where I'm expecting the focal point of their offense to start from, and then the play action will open things up for Kelce, maybe for Justin Watson, who we'll get to in a second. But I think Kareem Hunt should be that key player also if the Chiefs get out ahead. They are great at bringing pressure. They're high in the league when it comes to quarterback hurries, quarterback knockdowns, blitz rate, all those things. And I think it should turn into easy dump downs and drop-offs for Kamara, which should open up his receiving yards props.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt looked pretty good in his return back to the football field. We'll see if that continues tonight. But if we are taking a look at some of those receiving props, the two top dogs tonight from each team is Travis Kelce of the Chiefs at 58.5 receiving yards, Chris Olave at 59.5 receiving yards, and you get a lot of mix-mosh there below, which means you could maybe pinpoint a guy and target a guy that can really step up, Tom. Receiving props, what are we looking at?
Well, for Chris Olave, he should be lined up against Trent McDuffie, which has me concerned overall. Rashid Shaheed is that downfield option for the Saints, and he has a massive A-dot. He can get that reception prop done in like literally one or two catches. So that's just interesting as a game plan thing. If they do fall behind, they can take those deep shots. Rashid Shaheed can break that off. Justin Watson is my favorite tonight. Over 24.5 yards for Justin Watson. This year, he leads the team with an 11.1 A-dot, 14.2 air yard share. Last year, his A-dot was up at 17.5, 23% air yard share. He has the third most snaps among wide receivers. That is now second without Rice. Last year, he was also third. The Saints, coming into week five, they've allowed the ninth most receiving yards to wide receivers, up at 654. And Watson now leads wide receivers with 1.2 yards per route run. So over 24.5 yards for Watson. Listen, if Kelsey's number one and they're going to be potentially scheming against him, Watson is the clear number two. I think he can get over this number very easily tonight.
You saw Tom's top props for this Monday Night Football game, but just again, so you can get them and make sure you got the picks locked and loaded for this matchup. Derek Carr under 31.5 pass attempts. Kareem Hunt over 42.5 rushing yards. Justin Watson, now that second fiddle, perhaps behind Travis Kelce, over 24.5 receiving yards. Vecchio, you are the jack of all trades. So now let's go to the diamond in October, a doubleheader of game twos in each of our American League Division Series. We start in the Bronx inside Yankee Stadium. The Yankees greater than $1.50 favorite against the Royals, looking to take that commanding 2-0 series lead in the best of ALDS. But Cole Reagans gets the start for KC. Six innings of shutout work, only allowing four base knocks last week in Baltimore. How do you see game two playing out between the Pinstripes and the Royals?
Well, the biggest question for Reagans is his calf, or, you know, dealing with the issue that he got pulled out a little bit early. So I just want to double check on that. His line was thinking 5.5. The over was juiced on his strikeout prop. Frankly, when it comes to this game, the most interesting prop that I think would be Sal Perez to record an RBI at plus 140 or thereabout. You know, we saw all of their production, or the majority of the production from Kansas City come from the bottom portion of their lineup. Bobby Witt was pretty quiet. Perez was pretty quiet when it comes to the RBI. So I'm expecting that to flip. I will always buy into Perez going up against a lefty. And I know, Donnie, you spoke about the splits versus lefties in the previous segment, but Perez is too good of a hitter. And they mentioned it in the broadcast in the most recent game. He does not strike out a lot and he does not walk a lot because he puts the ball in play. So Massey and Witt getting on base, Garcia potentially getting on base, leaves him in a spot for potential a fly ball, a sack fly can cash as an RBI prop. He doesn't even need to have a hit.
So that's where things stand, Vecchio, for the game up in the Bronx. Now let's move quickly to Cleveland. The Tigers send out Tarik Skubal, and because of it, Detroit a road money line favorite against the Guardians, who wins game two in the land.
I think the Tigers do take this one. I've been high on Skubal the entire season. I wish I had a Cy Young future on him, but I'm certainly taking him. I believe his prop is still sitting at 5.5 or 6.5 in terms of his strikeouts. I might take a little bit of a sprinkle on 7+. He has to be their ace. He has to stem this flood that they had, especially with their bullpen getting kind of worked over in that first game. They need him out there for a lot of innings.
Tom Vecchio, we appreciate the time. As always, we get you set for this Monday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get you set for Monday Night Football in Kansas City. The Chiefs play host to the New Orleans Saints. 5.5-point spread in favor of KC. Total stands at 43 and a hook. DRS, we have talked about this often. 5.5-point underdogs or greater so far in the NFL season. 19-4-1 against the spread, including the only two spots where that was the case in Week 5 previously. Yesterday, the Cardinals win outright, getting 7.5 on the road. The Giants win outright as a 6.5-point road dog in Seattle. So of those 19 covers, 13 outright wins as well. Will the Saints continue the trend so far in 2024?
I think they will. I do. Like, you can see this game, and if you're just playing it to the number, right, 23-20, right around that total number, right around that spread, which is coming in at 5.5, I think that's legitimate, where maybe the last team standing is the last team with the football driving down the field to kick a field goal. And again, we're not worried all that much about weather conditions, 65 degrees, no real winds to worry about, and also precipitation in the forecast. So I think we'll get a pretty clean effort, but the question is going to be is how do we actually get to the finish line? And for me, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm worried about. Is it Kareem Hunt? Did he maybe have that little adrenaline rush in his first game back and then settles back into reality where he just got brought back into football? Can Xavier Worthy, even though he was drafted high, really be that number one that the Kansas City Chiefs can lean on? The one thing we do like is you are planning on that. The reason I say that is sometimes you get into games where your wide receiver gets hurt, where the game plan's already in. It's hard to adjust on the fly. Now, coming into the game, you know Rashee Rice isn't going to be there. So Travis Kelce, how are we getting him open? Xavier Worthy, how are we getting him open? Juju Smith-Schuster, can he enter into the game plan once again? And is it going to be more of up-tempo, as Joe Lisi would say, tempo, tempo, tempo? Or are we going to slow this game down and play it more to the under? Because the win is what really matters at this point. That's what I'm trying to gauge right now. But I do believe, keep it simple here. We know Travis Kelce is going to be schemed open. I don't care if the Saints know he's going to be open. Xavier Worthy is not just going to be a guy that's going to run, you know, 70-yard streak patterns a whole game just to try to distract the defense. He's going to be involved in the game plan. Those are the two guys I'm going after, because the last thing you want to do is say to yourself, hey, you know what? I'm going to go after Juju Smith-Schuster's 16.5, only to him have one target and no catches tonight.
Yeah, it is a really interesting game, I think, from the prop perspective as well. Before we get even further into the props, total is interesting, 43.5. The Saints over in 3 of 4 so far this year, one of the heavier under teams a year ago, under in 11 of 17. The Chiefs are 4-0, but it hasn't been Mahomes putting up 38 points per game. In fact, he's been rather mediocre, 6 touchdowns to only 5 interceptions. The Chiefs have been well under in each of their past 2 games, despite covering in 3 of 4, booked as a favorite in all 4 games this year. So DRS, when 43.5 is at stake tonight, a primetime game, another under, or might we see some points on the board tonight in Arrowhead?
I know it's so tough to say an under in Kansas City when you're not talking about, like, in the past, 52.5, 53.5. It's 43.5. So when you just put those simple numbers, as I said, both of these teams getting around 20 points put you in the ballpark. You can see that happening, but I don't know if that's going to be the case, because I understand it's Patrick Mahomes. He should be able to win this football game just on his talent alone and Andy Reid calling the plays, but you still have to have those explosive plays downfield. If you know from a Saints perspective that on the outside, Xavier Worthy is really the only deep threat, you roll a safety over coverage, you add an extra linebacker, and the Saints have some talented and athletic linebackers to try to slow down Kelce. I just don't see where the big plays come from. And also, Kansas City on defense, they're a pretty good defensive unit here, and Steve Spagnuolo has those guys cracking. I trend towards the under in this game. Now, Grant, usually I'm just a prop player. I'm going to take some overs, and I'm hoping offense. But I don't know if we see that 50-point game tonight. It just seems like a slower tempo to me. Will it be as low as the Philadelphia Eagles played the New Orleans Saints? No, it's not going to be that low. But it's going to be in that 20-17, 23-20 type range for me.
When you saw the quarterback comparison as well, both QBs have gone over their prop twice this year, but neither has been overly prolific. Carr has not thrown for more than 250 in any of the 4 games, but Mahomes over that number in week 1 and week 4. I mentioned it, 6 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes has thrown a pick in all 4 games this year. Derek Carr in his opening 2, New Orleans victorious, an offensive juggernaut. 5 touchdowns to only a single interception last 2 weeks, only a single touchdown to 2 INTs. Both quarterbacks heavily juiced to throw a pick tonight. Minus 140 for Mahomes, minus 152 for Derek Carr. The running back's interesting as well. Again, what do we see out of Kareem Hunt? What do we see out of Alvin Kamara, who has been sensational this year? Expected DRS to post about 100 scrimmage yards tonight for New Orleans offense. He has had at least 105 scrimmage yards in all 4 games so far for the Saints.
Yeah, with Taysom Hill being out, he's going to be the touchdown guy, which means you get inside the five-yard line, he will get those carries. But also, you're right. If the defenses are good and the play is a little bit slower, you're going to take a lot more of those checkdowns if you can't get Olave open deep, or let's just say Rashid Shaheed. So I am looking forward to a big night for Kamara. Let's just say this, Ben. You wake up tomorrow morning and read the press clippings without seeing the final score. Kamara had 78 total yards on the ground and receiving, and then also did not score a touchdown. There's no way the Saints can win this ball game. So there is that. I always like to take that appeal to say, if you're looking for the Saints and think they can hang around, they're not hanging around unless Kamara has a very good night. He doesn't have to run for 150 yards, but get up somewhere around 100 total yards and a touchdown. That'll keep them in the ball game. And I do think Kamara should be that lead dog for the Saints tonight.
69 yards for Kareem Hunt on the ground last week. Samaje Perine, though, the game-winning touchdown for KC in the fourth quarter on the ground last week in L.A. DRS, you mentioned Travis Kelce. You mentioned the other side for New Orleans. Just want to stress this. 7 grabs for Kelce last week on 9 targets for 89 yards. More yards last week than in the first 3 weeks combined by a 20-yard difference. That's how good Kelce was in week 4 and some of the questions in the opening 3. If you had a favorite prop bet tonight before you go, what would it be?
I would probably say if we're trying to scan, it would still be, I don't know, it's probably Kamara out of the backfield at 33.5 yards, because I think the checkdowns are going to be there. That's one or two screens that could pick up 15 or 20 yards and make it happen. The one thing I'm not doing tonight, Ben, I'm not going way down there and saying, give me Noah Gray for all the marbles at 19.5. Stick with what you know. Alvin Kamara.
DRS, enjoy the money line. We'll talk Thursday. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line to round out this Monday on TEL. Of course, Monday Night Football tonight in Kansas City, the Chiefs and the Saints. Did want to mention Chris Olave. You saw the receiving yards prop. He's had at least 81 receiving yards in 3 consecutive games for New Orleans. There is no doubt he is the top target of Derek Carr. Keep an eye on his prop tonight against Kansas City. I don't expect it to be an overly offensive game. In the Fade the Public poll, we showed you all the options. The least amount of votes was the under. I actually lean under tonight, just given where these two offenses are entering and how great the defense has been for Kansas City, with the offensive issues for the Chiefs, at least injury-wise, and where New Orleans has come back down to earth in the last couple of weeks. But we did see a lot of scoring in week 5. We will see if the trend of 5.5-point underdogs or greater continues tonight in KC. So week 6 of the college football season was the day of the underdog. It was the day of the upset. It was a ton of ranked teams getting upset on Saturday, 7 in total in the entirety of the week 6 slate. The most we have seen any individual weekend of a college football campaign since 2018. And that's the beautiful thing about the sport of CFB. You can expect chaos even when you're not expecting a ton of marquee matchups. It's one of those things where you have a quiet weekend and then all of a sudden it leads to upheaval. Because to end out September, we had 4 ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts in the game of the year in Tuscaloosa. And we knew that the second Saturday in October was going to be glorious. And, of course, the opening Saturday of the month delivers. But Saturday, October 12th, has been a day we have circled and a day we have looked forward to all year long, even back in the summer months. And although it loses a little bit of luster with USC losing on the road, Tennessee losing on the road, it is still going to be a monumental Saturday in the sport. Number 2 versus number 3 in Eugene on Saturday. The Oregon Ducks play host to the Buckeyes of Ohio State. Oregon, 3.5-point home underdog inside Autzen Stadium. When this line opened up in the summer, it was much closer to a pick. The Ducks have not been a great cover team this year, despite a perfect 5-0 start. Just 1-4 against the spread, the only cover against Oregon State, but of course they have not been booked as an underdog so far this season. Ohio State now 3-2 ATS, and they have covered in both of their Big Ten games to start this year. 27-16-2 ATS in the 6 full seasons now under Ryan Day in Big Ten play. Second best cover percentage in the conference in that span. The Red River Rivalry. In the afternoon hours at the Cotton Bowl at the Texas State Fair in Dallas. For the first time as SEC foes, it's Oklahoma and Texas. Both teams on the bye a week ago. Texas, after Alabama gets upset by Vanderbilt, now the number one team in the country once again, and laying 14.5 points. The Longhorns 4-1 against the spread so far this season, a favorite in all five games. And they have covered in games against Power Conference competition to begin. Top 15 tilt in the Bayou. It's LSU and Ole Miss under the lights inside Tiger Stadium. One of the best environments in all of college football. LSU getting 3.5 at home. I would expect to see some points in that game. Ole Miss bouncing back from its opening loss of the year on the road, easily covering in Columbia, winning 27-3 as a 9.5-point favorite against South Carolina. This is really the game that loses the most luster. When we looked at potentially 4 top 20 tilts on Saturday, we thought this might be a top 10 affair inside the Coliseum in the afternoon hours between Penn State and USC. But the Golden Gophers had other ideas. Minnesota pulling off the upset over Southern Cal on Saturday night in the Twin Cities. So USC was 11th entering the game, now completely outside of the top 25. Penn State up, though, to number 4 in the country, laying 4.5 on the road in the Coliseum. USC's defense needs to be really good on Saturday against the duo in the backfield in Happy Valley. Tennessee loses its first game. Florida knocks off UCF. The Gators back above 500. The Vols still a 15.5-point favorite in a crucial Big 12 battle in Boulder between Colorado and Kansas State. The early line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time on SportsCenter.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.